check, check, test, test, test. Thank you.
Good morning. I hear a lot of buzz, so just before we start, I welcome everybody to say hello to your neighbors and friends and our church family. Good morning, everybody. I would like to invite everybody to stand as we read the call to worship and remain standing for the opening song if you are able. Christ came to be our King. The King of Kings calls us to follow. Christ is our King, and we are his people. And I believe the song is in the bulletin as well. Your insert, come now is the time to worship. May be seated.
Leave. Lieder gib mir, süße Lieder, Herr, zu deiner Frühlingspracht. Deine Sonne strahlt wieder auf die Wunde deiner Macht. Ringsum wartet selig Leben, alle Kräfte sind erneut. Blüten sind dem Baum gegeben, Kränze auf die Flur gestreut. Kränze auf die Flur gestreut. Möchte mit den Vögeln singen, möchte mit den Blumen blühen, möchte mich zur Höhe schwingen, wo die goldenen Wolken ziehen. Möchte in den Himmel fliegen, baden mich im Lichte. Und mit langen, durstigen Zügen trinken aus des Lebens Quell. Trinken aus des Lebens Quell. Lieder, gib mir süße Lieder, Herr, zu deiner Frühlingsbrach. Gab's im Vogel sein Gefieder und des Sanges sauber macht. Hast auch mir ein Herz gegeben, das sich deiner Wunder freut. O, so lass es auf uns schweben, auf des Sanges Seligkeit, auf des Sanges Seligkeit.
Thank you, Lainey and Nick. What a great way to start this beautiful spring morning. Today we're going to be talking about trees, and the other day I was walking through Assiniboine Park and I could see that the leaves were just waiting to burst forth, and now they're starting to come. So it is a wonderful day and it's great to see you all here. Does anybody have any guests they would like to introduce, or is anybody a visitor here that would like to be introduced? We'd like to welcome Ferd, our pastor from Bethania Personal Care Home, and his wife, Katie, in the back. Katie. There we go. She's waving from the back. Welcome. It's wonderful to have you here at our service and wonderful to worship with you. All right. Does anybody have any announcements that they would like to highlight or advise us about that are not in the bulletin? Okay, it's a quiet crowd today. All right. Then let us go through the bulletin a little bit. There are a lot of things that are happening at our church and in our community. I would welcome you to read through them. I would like to highlight number 8, which is our child dedication service on Father's Day. So if anyone is interested in participating, please let Pastor Franz know. And is there anything else? All right, let's look at our church family that is requiring some of our prayer. Tracy LeClaire had sent out a notice about her visit in the U.S. for seeking medical treatments. Let us make sure that we keep her in our prayers as they undergo tests to diagnose the issues and finding a proper way for treatment. Our young member, our youngest addition to the family, Tegan McDonald Funk, could be heading home. Is there any update on that? So it looks like he's still in the hospital. All right, and continue to keep Hildegard Knopf in your prayers as well as she continues to recover from her surgery as well. Sorry, I just noticed there was one other announcement about Bethania, and that is this afternoon they're having an auxiliary tea as well, so everyone is welcome to attend. Would anybody else like to share something, joys, concerns, prayer requests? Lasso's going to come and bring you the mic.
My daughter Karen Brewer came out of an induced coma yesterday. She opened her eyes, and so I thank everybody that prayed for her. I mean, she's not out of the woods, but was improvement. Thank you.
Wonderful. That's great news. Let us all rejoice together and continue our prayers as well. Is there anybody else?
I don't know how many of you know exactly what's wrong with Tracy LeClaire. Unfortunately, they don't either. But I've been in touch with them every day. And one of the things that they think need most right now, besides, yes, prayer, is that there's a lot of confusion. She's had a number of different diagnoses, even at the clinic where she is. And to be 36 years old and basically told when she left here to live in assisted living for the rest of her life and not be able to have much quality of life isn't really acceptable to anyone, never mind someone so young. And to be so far away and not have any family or someone that you can kind of touch base with to find out, are they making the right decisions? Are they getting the right doctors to tell them all the right things? They really have to trust that God is going to lead them in the way that it's meant to be. And I just hope that we all continue to pray for her so they make the right decisions for them and for Tracy to get better.
Thank you for the update, Lainey. Anybody else have anything to share? If not, then Lasa will be sharing the children's story this morning. So I would welcome all the children to come to the front for children's story.
Good morning, everyone. Hope you're all doing good this morning. Okay, so in church today, we're going to be talking about aging, so getting older, and talking about when one day we can no longer run as fast as we used to be able to, or if we can't throw a ball as far as we used to be able to. But we are talking about what we can do better when we are older. We can always grow closer to God, even if we aren't as strong as fast as we used to be. But we don't need that if we are close to God, because that's most important. And He provides for people spiritually and mentally from the moment you are born till the end of your life. So today I'm going to be reading the story of Abraham and Sarah. And that is talking about how God provided for them even when they were very, very, very old. Okay. So, once there was a man named Abram. One day, the Lord told Abram to leave his home and move to a country called Canaan. "I will go, Lord," Abram said. He took his wife Sarah and his nephew Lot, and together they traveled many miles until they reached the land of Canaan. God promised Abram that he and Sarah would be the parents of a great nation, even though they were old and had no children. He changed Abram's name to Abraham, which means father of many. He also changed Sarai's name to Sarah. Abraham laughed when God told him that he and Sarah would have a child in their old age. One day, three visitors came to Abraham's tents. He hurried to greet them. "May I get you something to eat and drink?" Abraham asked. "Please, stay here and rest." "Very well," the strangers said. So Abraham brought food to them. "Where is Sarah, your wife?" they asked him. "She's in the tent," Abraham replied. One of the men was the Lord. He told Abraham, "I will come back to see you this time next year, and Sarah will have a son." When Sarah heard this, that she would have a son, she laughed. She was almost 100 years old. "Why did you laugh?" the Lord asked. "I didn't laugh," Sarah said. "Yes, you did," the Lord replied. Sarah did have a son. She and Abraham named him Isaac, which means he laughs. They thanked God for their son. So this story is just talking about how God will provide for you during your whole life. So that's something important to remember. So now I have a prayer for you before you go back to your parents or go downstairs. So can we bow our heads? And all right. Dear Heavenly Father, when I was a child, I went to my mother for comfort. She held me on her lap, rocked me close to her heart, and wiped away my tears. When I became an adult, I had no one to turn to for shelter. That is when I learned that you are my loving Father, who will always hold me close, just as my mother once did. No matter how old I grow, I can still feel the safety of a child held in loving arms, comforted and loved beyond all measures. I know that I am yours, a child of God, who knows my name and loves me for all eternity. Amen.
And let us take the insert from our bulletin. We will be singing Make Me Like the Palm, which actually relates to the verse today. It's a hymn from 1855. So it may not be familiar to you, however, the rhythm is quite easy, as is are the notes, and everything is in the bulletin. I would encourage you to sing along. Let us now bow for prayer. Thank you for this day, O God. On this new morning and in every moment of our lives, gracious God, from generation to generation we praise your holy name. Like our ancestors before us, We proclaim your greatness to our children, for we have seen your deeds of power and witnessed your goodness in our lives. And when goodness is not apparent, we ask that you wrap your loving arms around us until we are again able to see the beauty of the moment. Please provide healing for those in our congregation who are undergoing treatments or dealing with health issues. Let us keep Peter Thiessen, Tegan McDonald Funk, Karen Brewer, Darlene Bargan, Heinrich Fust, Kim Hoban, Anna Clausen, Tracy LeClaire, Kim Lind, Gary Martins, Peter Hirschfeld, Tree Harris, Hildy Weens, and Gary Hebert in our prayers as they all continue to battle the illnesses or recover and at a slower pace. Please give the doctors wisdom so that they are able to heal our church family. We also ask that you provide comfort for those who are here today or at home working through mental, emotional, or financial struggles. Please also put your hand upon those that are in the personal care homes for either a short or a long period of time. Your blessing upon them is welcome. And as we listen to the message today, open our ears to hear your word so that we may be guided in our actions throughout the coming week. Let us now pray together the words you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, as we forgive our trespasses. We forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now Lainey and Nick will lead us in song as we take the collection.
I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand, my faith on heaven's stable land. A higher plane than I have found, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fear dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand, my faith on heaven's stable land. A higher plane than I have found, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to live above the world, though Satan's darts at me are hurled. For faith has caught the joyful sound, the song of saints on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand, my faith on heaven's stable land. A higher plane than I have found, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to scale the utmost height and catch a gleam of glory bright. But still I pray till heaven I've found, Lord, lift me on to higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand, my faith on heaven's stable land. A higher plane than I have found, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground.
Good morning, everyone. I will be reading the scripture passages today, and the first one is Psalm 92, verse 12 to 14. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green. The next one is from Job, chapter 5, verse 26. You will come to the grave in full vigor, like a shock of wheat that is gathered in season.
Good morning. It is good to be here. And this morning, after I saw so many young children and young parents and so on, I looked at my topic again and I thought, man, Ferd, you've got your seasons reversed. But that's okay. I grew up in Paraguay, not to worry. Well, dear congregation, first and foremost, I'd like to bring some greetings to you from your Gemeinde Geschwister at Betania. Heidi Schroeder, Katharina Wagner, Jake Burke, Agnes Dirksen, Susanna Buhler, and Hildegard Knopf. This last winter has been a particularly difficult one for us at Betania, as many of you know, since we have had many, many deaths in the facility. Your congregation in particular has also been very strongly affected by the many deaths that we've had. I did a little bit of a count. Last year, around this time, I think you had about 13 residents at Betania. This year, we're down to 6. So that is a significant loss. And our hearts go out to the families of all those that have lost a loved one over the last year or so. I want to affirm that we have felt your loving concern, your prayers, and not only for the families and the residents, but also for the staff that care for them, which is not always a very easy thing to do, especially when you have so many losses after one after another. And so all the loving concern that we experience from our supporting congregations is so much appreciated, particularly in those difficult days. This morning I want to talk about a topic that is very close to my heart. On the one hand, I'm observing from a distance how my parents are aging, and they are slowly entering the third the last third of their life. And I'm becoming more and more aware of my own aging process as well. And also, working in a home for the aged, I have many occasions to reflect on and to study the process of aging. And the challenges, the opportunities, particularly also the spiritual tasks that we face as we grow older. I know that for many of you, Betania is very close to your hearts as well. Currently, as I mentioned, we have a number of members from this congregation that live there. And many of you have also been volunteers. Some of you are still currently volunteers. And in many different capacities. And dare I say that I'm pretty sure that some of you are thinking that possibly, likely, Betania, 1045 Concordia Avenue, will become your home in the next, who knows when, in the coming future. I invite you this morning to join with me in reflecting on some of the important tasks of getting older. We often speak of old age as the autumn season of life. The autumn time of life is a time to reflect on the spring and the summer days of our lives, and then also to harvest some of the memories that we've had and to enjoy them, perhaps to weed through some of the difficult experiences that we've had and to lay those to rest, just giving them over to God in a gesture of saying, "Thank you, God, I could have done without this." I am reminded of the story of Job in the Old Testament. After losing everything that he had, everything that was important to him, his family, his home, his possessions, and even his community of support, which in many ways is very symbolic of all the losses that people experience just prior to entering that last stretch of their lives. When I think about that story, Job's three remaining friends seek to comfort him, and they speak these prophetic words to him: "You shall come to your grave in full vigor, like a shock of wheat gathered in season. Now these words must have sounded pretty hollow to Job at the moment when he was going through the most difficult time in his life. But listen to the rest of the story. In the last chapter of Job's book, it says, "The Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life more than the first. And so he died old and full of years." In old age, Job was able to experience the ripening of his faith, like a shock of wheat that is gathered up to be harvested in order to yield grain and bread to nurture those that will benefit from it. So the life well lived in the spring and summer of our lives will be a blessing to others in our old age as well. One thing I hear from the elderly is that many undesirable and difficult life experiences from the past come visiting in their memories. As we age, we are faced with questions and challenges that we have never met before. I mean, not that we don't have challenges in our younger years, but it seems to be that they get amplified in older age. We are confronted with questions about our faith and about our spiritual life, questions about the meaning of life and the significance and end goal of our life. Undesirable feelings, distressing thoughts, regrets, worries, unfulfilled dreams, and unwelcome memories have a way of draining our energy so often in older age. Often questions about our health, about fractured relationships, about the family and the future, and even the inevitability of our own death weigh heavy on our hearts. Some of these questions may be related to our own past life choices or the life choices of other people that have a deep effect on our lives. Regret or disappointment may be fed by feelings of failure or the life choices that we have made. And as older people often feel abandoned, neglected, and maybe even mistreated. And we hear stories about elder neglect or elder abuse in the news almost daily. There are often feelings of shame and guilt associated with these perceived failures as we get older. On another level, many elderly people fear the uncertainty of the future. They have observed the fate of others who have gone this way before and may have a very real fear of losing their health, their independence, and their ability to think clearly and remember things. Many are afraid of the pain and suffering that come with older age. There's a real truth in the lament that we so often hear spoken and perhaps even say it ourselves, that everything hurts, and what doesn't hurt just doesn't work. Now, losses of every type and category are amplified as we grow older. And one can get into a vicious circle of self-doubt and perhaps also self-pity because of the many losses that we experience in our daily life. So with all these challenges and potential hardships that we could face in older age, what will keep us from falling into hopelessness and despair? What will give us that resilience and that spiritual stamina that the psalmist talks about? What will keep us flourishing in God's courts? What will enable us to still bear fruit in old age and to stay fresh and green? Well, Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, "I have come that you will have life and have it abundantly." That is God's desire for us. A fulfilled and abundant life. It doesn't end at 35. I wonder sometimes if Jesus had grown to be an old man, how would he have lived and coped with the many challenges that we so often face in our older age? I'm pretty sure the Bible would be full of wonderful wisdom that we could learn from Jesus if he had become an older man. In their book, Pilgrimage into the Last Third of Life, Gateways to Spiritual Growth, Richard Morgan and Jane Marie Thibault offer practical wisdom about continuing to grow spiritually in old age. Well, you've heard me use the term the last third of life, and you may be wondering, what does that mean? The last third of life includes people that scientists refer to as the young old, that is the age bracket from about 60 to 80 years old, and the old old, which is the age bracket from about 80 to 100 plus. We say that age is relative, and that is truly so. You could perhaps be a person in your 50s and have a life-limiting and debilitating illness, and that would rob you of some quality of life. Or you could have a 95-year-old person in full vigor, you know, perfectly healthy, and a mind that is as sharp as a tack. However that may be, the most predictable characteristic in old age, in this last third of life, is that these years are unpredictable. Physical and mental health dictate the quality of our life, and the things that we can do or that we would like to enjoy are totally dependent on whether we are well enough and feel good enough to do those things. But regardless of our physical and mental health, we do well to also pay special attention to the spiritual health that we have as we grow older. Carl Jung, in 1933, made the observation that we cannot live the afternoon of life according to the program of life's morning. You cannot live the afternoon of life according to the program of life's morning, because what in the morning was true will at evening have become a lie. Now, what does that mean? Well, in the evening of life, we revisit a critical question that our subconscious asked when we were a little child. In our early childhood, Erik Erikson says, we ask that question, is it okay to be me? And during our child play with our friends, our schoolmates, and even the conversations and the upbringing that we have in our homes, we learn to receive praise and affirmation and also criticism, and we internalize those messages that we receive. And on the basis of that, we make up a mind of whether I am a good person or not. So we ask that question, is it okay to be me? At some point, we accept or reject ourselves based on the messages that we receive. Now, in older age, believe it or not, looking back on the years of experience that we have lived, we come back to that same question again. Our subconscious asks that same question, has it been okay to be me? Has it been okay to live this life as Ferd Funk? You know, the experiences that I've had, the challenges that I've faced, the growth and the learning that I've experienced, has that all been good? And when I meet my Maker, will I be able to stand there and say, yes, it is good to come home, because I know that my life has had meaning and purpose. So in older age, we have more time to reflect on the things that we have, that have given meaning and purpose to our lives. Our career, our status, position in society, our financial stability and success, our accomplishments, our achievements, our health, our family, our legacy, all those things that are important to us, that we have spent every waking hour to develop in our younger life. These are the sorts of questions that also keep us awake at night as we grow older. And sooner or later, every one of us will come to a point of crisis that shocks us into the realization that we are no longer as young as we used to think that we were. Let me give you a personal example. I have decided that this year, in my 53rd year of life, I will run in my first ever marathon on Mother's Day. Yay for Ferd. There we go. All right. I have trained hard all winter, and I'm pumped to run the 5 kilometers. I won't dare to do anything more than that. On Mother's Day in Steinbach next weekend. Now, here's the problem. In the last few weeks, I have found that it takes my body a lot longer to recover from any workout or running that I do. My lungs and my knees are burning like never before. And you know what? I'm trying to keep positive and saying to myself, you know, Ferd, science says for every hour that you run, you can add up to 7 hours to your life. Wow. That is one thing that science tells me, but my body is telling me that that will not happen if you trip over your tongue hanging out and you break your neck. So training for the run and trying to work on my fitness has definitely been my wake-up call that I am not as young as I used to be, or perhaps as strong and as fit as I would like to be. The last 7 years or so, working with and learning from the wisdom of the elderly at Bethania has been a truly fulfilling time in my life. I have learned so many valuable lessons that will sustain me in my old age, if and when I ever get there. As I reflect on the beauty and richness of older age, I notice that the happiest old people are the ones that embrace the mystery of living with uncertainty, and they truly live in the moment, one day at a time. They face their aging and their own mortality with confidence. We are invited to embrace the later years of our life, not simply as a random series of events to be endured and diminishments that we cannot avoid, but as an intentional and purposeful movement towards God and a sacred search for the Holy One who has loved us into being. It is so liberating to know that we no longer have to maintain the illusion that we are young or that we are invincible and that this will happen to everyone else but me. And as we acknowledge that our time is limited, we follow God's call into the unknown, and perhaps into an uncomfortable or even painful future. And we invite others to come alongside with us as we help them and they help us. And it's a learning process of giving and receiving help and support. The dignity of old age comes from remaining true to who we really are in the midst of the realities that we cannot change. Wisdom teaches us also to learn to live with our limitations and to have a sense of humor about the things that we are no longer able to do. Prediger Jakob Wiebe from this congregation, whom I remember very fondly as a mentor when I first started out in ministry, he had a wonderful saying. When I would ask him sometimes, na Prediger, wie bejetet? He would say, schlecht hören kann ich gut, und gut sehen kann ich schlecht. So in other words, there are things that I used to be able to do really well, but now it's not so good anymore. And even the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 says, so we do not lose heart, even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. You know, things may happen to us that we have no control over, but inwardly, we have some wonderful opportunities to do some work that will bring us closer to God. As we get older, we may not get around much anymore. And even this morning, as we were pulling up, we saw that a number of people were catching rides with others because they have probably, in their wisdom, been smart enough to give up their driver's license. And we come to that stage where we just have to do that. But even so, as our sense of hearing and our vision diminishes, our many of the experiences that we have are no longer, we're no longer able to have. God still invites us to listen to that still small voice of His that beckons us to come closer to Him. As we become more limited in health and mobility, we also face the difficult task of downsizing, clearing out the clutter, downsizing possessions that we once thought we could not do without, in order to move into a smaller space. That can truly be a cleansing experience and an opportunity to also declutter our spiritual lives. Jesus said, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." And I'm pretty sure none of us has ever seen a hearse with a carry-on luggage rack on top. That just doesn't happen. But store up treasures in heaven. The harvest time of our lives gives us an opportunity to do some real inner work. I recently picked up a new hobby. Not because I'm bored, I've got plenty of things to do, and time is running out, I'm realizing that too. But because it helps me to deal with stuff that is sometimes too hard to talk to someone about. So when I'm in my workshop, I have the opportunity to lean into my feelings of regret, anger, fear, frustration, anxiety, despair, unforgiveness, all those negative feelings that sometimes want to bog us down. During these times, I try to discipline myself, to sift through the day's encounters with people, the glimpses of nature, and the work that I did, and discover where God came through in all of these experiences. Every day I find occasion to express gratitude for God's work and presence in my life. And so I want to ask you, where does God come through in your life as you reflect on your daily activities? Now, in conclusion, as we learn to accept the uncertainties that come with older age and embrace our own aging and mortality, may we also truly enter a season of savoring the gift of our life with gratitude, because God has been good to us. May we feel drawn ever closer to God, our Creator, and may we be at peace in the assurance that we are fulfilling God's plan for our lives. And my prayer is that the Lord will bless the latter part of your life more than the first part. Amen.
You're getting a very wide variety of music today. And this song will take us back to Easter. And because Nick and I get to pick some of our favorite songs, that's why you're going to hear this one.
He left the splendor of heaven, knowing his destiny was a lonely hill of Golgotha, there to lay down his life for me. If that isn't love, the ocean is dry, there's no stars in the sky, and the sparrow can't fly. If that isn't love, then heaven's a feeling like this, if that isn't love. Even in death he remembered the thief hanging by his side. He spoke with love and compassion. affliction. Then he took him to paradise. If that isn't love, the ocean is dry. There's no stars in the sky, and the sparrow can't fly. If that isn't love, then heaven's a myth. There's no feeling like this if that isn't love. If that isn't love, then heaven's a myth. There's no feeling like this if that isn't love.
Thank you so much for the wonderful music. Thank you, Trudy, for playing. And your message was good to hear for all of us, no matter at what stage of life we're at, whether we're supporting somebody in the latter third of their life, whether we're getting close to that, or whether we're quite far away. It makes us sort of think about life in a different perspective. So thank you very much for your word. Let us rise for the benediction, and then you may be seated as Lainey and Nick will sing another song. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Joys are flowing like a river since the Comforter has come. He abides with us forever, makes the trusting heart his home. Blessed quietness, holy quietness, what assurance in my soul. On the stormy sea, he speaks peace to me, how the billows seem to roll. Like the rain that falls from heaven, like the sunlight from the sky, so the Holy Ghost is given, coming on us from on high. Blessed quietness, holy quietness, what assurance in my soul. On the stormy seas he speaks peace to me, how the billows cease to roll. See a fruit whose field is growing, blessed fruit of righteousness. And the streams of life are flowing in the lonely wilderness. Blessed quietness, holy quietness, what assurance in my soul. On the stormy sea he speaks peace to me, how the billows cease to roll. What a wonderful salvation, where we always see his face. What a perfect habitation, what a quiet resting place. Blessed quietness, holy quietness, what assurance in my soul. On the stormy sea, he speaks peace to me, how the billows cease to roll.